much. You can be seated. Thank you. It's good to be here this morning. Is this on? Yeah. Thank you. You can be seated. Everybody's excited about the basketball championship. That's what you're excited about? All right. Some of these guys trying to draw attention to themselves. We're all impressed. All right. So let me jump into something today. Let me ask you a question in a minute we're going to get back to. We're going to talk about a topic today, which I'll introduce here in a second. Something you've heard about. But we'll try to address it in a way that's very practical and hopefully a challenge for all of us. But I'm going to ask you in a minute, who do you want to be like? When I said that, probably someone came to mind. Now, I don't know who that person is for you and why, but just think, who do you want to be like? Now ask, why do you want to be like them? I know many of you are saying you want to be just like me. I understand that. But there is probably someone, when they came to mind, you thought of a story why you have some desire to be like them. Maybe it's a collection of people. Maybe it's one individual. But think about what resonated with you about them or their integrity, which is what we're going to talk about today. What about them or their integrity made you desire to want to be like them? Now, I'll explain what integrity is, because sometimes it's a buzzword that we don't really understand. But in a practical sense, integrity is the ability of a structure to withstand its intended load without failing due to fracture or fatigue. Many of you right now, we are in a building that the structural integrity of the beams, trusses that are here are holding the ceiling off of us. Many of you are sitting in a chair that the structural integrity of a chair is keeping you off the ground right now. And you fully expect that chair to perform to its structural integrity. Some people push that structural integrity a little further than others. But we all have a willingness to say we want to have structural integrity. Now, we also know this. When a load-bearing structure fails, the load is transferred to and potentially overloads surrounding support structures. And some of you have heard of tragedies that have happened over the last year or two where sometimes a portion of a structure fails, and as it collapses, another portion of that structure fails because that load is now overly stressing another part of that building or environment around them. You heard about, I think in Miami last year, this happened, part of a building, and when that stress was put on other parts of the building, all of it collapsed. It was very destructive. What happened? A lack of structural integrity. We're going to take this principle of integrity, which you have heard before, and apply it to us. We also know this, a failure of personal integrity, not structural now, but personal integrity, adds stress to the people around us. And many of you have seen this firsthand in your own families, or maybe you've witnessed it from people you work with in a ministry setting. You see where one person's lack of integrity, their personal integrity, has then caused stress to the people around them. You've seen a mom walk out on children, and that puts stress on the people in the home. You've seen a dad not fulfill his obligations to his children or to his family, and when he exits or doesn't perform to the level of his integrity, it puts stress on many people around you. And some of you right now are trying to actually hold some of that load that was not intended for you, but someone else exited, and you're left trying to support that load. Again, it could be in your personal families, or maybe someone you're working with. But this is what happens to many people. They lose their integrity. When that happens, it puts stress on other people around them, and sometimes those people collapse under that weight, because a principle of integrity is the load is always transferred when integrity is compromised. You can't have a personal integrity failure and the load not be transferred somewhere. And I want all of you to think for a few minutes when I talk for the rest of the message. I really want you to try to discern what structural integrity do you want for your personal life? What personal integrity? Who do you want to become? As I asked you a few minutes ago, who do you want to be like? There's someone right now that you could probably think of that didn't perform up to the level of the integrity that they should have, and it put stress or transferred the load to people around them. And you've seen the stress and sometimes the fracture of people's lives and families' lives because they didn't perform or live up to their personal integrity. Who do you want to be like? Probably someone you admire the choices that they made. Someone that you look to and say, wow, I admire that. And how do you know you admire them? Because probably at some point their integrity was stressed. And instead of failing, they withheld and performed admirably. And when you do that, you look up to them, and some part of your inner integrity says, I want to be like that. It's aspirational. You look up to them and think, wow, that person has integrity. And these are the people that you want to influence you. These are the people that you want to be around. What is integrity? Integrity, a simple definition, is doing what we ought to do, even if it costs you. Even if it adds more to the weight or pressure around you. Integrity is deciding, this is who I want to be. That's why I'm asking you, who do you want to follow? Who do you want to be like? Get a vision, a picture, what that looks like. Because if we don't, our irresponsibility becomes someone else's responsibility. When you choose to be irresponsible, or you choose to just make a pivot and say, well, that's not that big a deal, and you don't fulfill your personal integrity, that irresponsibility is going to have to be picked up by someone else. Now, I don't know what I'll choose to do over the next few years, but I have done my best to try to live up to a level of personal integrity that I can look up to. We're going to look at a person in a few minutes. That was unbelievable. Their personal integrity was off the charts. I want to challenge all of you. Who do you want to be like? Proverbs says this, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The upright, meaning you're looking into the future. It's not looking immediate. It's looking permanent. It's looking future-minded, down the road. The integrity of the upright, who you want to be, guides you. Not what looks good in the moment, not what feels good in a moment, not what sounds good right now, but the upright looking down the road says, that's what I want to be, and that makes your decisions. But perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Getting sidetracked, getting pulled aside, those things can absolutely be a pitfall or pull you aside. They become your irresponsibility, which then creates pressure around you by others to pick up your lack of responsibility. So we're going to look at a story of a man that you've heard before. We're going to look at it from this filter. I hope it can help you to see. Maybe get a clearer picture of who you want to be like. So in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3. Now as you think about Daniel here, 605 BC, Nebuchadnezzar defeated the Assyrians, and he kept going until he conquered Israel. So this is what is happening in the environment right now when this is going on with Daniel. In verse 1:3 it says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes." Now then he goes on to define exactly who he is looking for this project. He commanded Ashpenaz and says, "Here's what I want you to do." Verse 1:4 it says this, "Children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans." Now, this is a pretty remarkable opportunity. This is when this army is wreaking havoc on the world around you, dominating kingdoms. The king says, "I want you to go out and find these type of people and bring them back to the most advanced and the most luxurious and the most coveted city in the world at that time. And I want you to bring them back here, and I'm going to give them an opportunity that everyone would want, even the citizens of Babylon would want this." And he's bringing in people from countries that he had just dominated, taken into captive. Now, if you were one of these people that were chosen, and looking around the room, very few of you would have been, but if you were one of these people who were chosen, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. This is probably where families are ripped apart. This might be where your dad was killed in front of you. And he sees his son and he hears what's happening. This is where the last words to his son might have been, "Daniel, don't mess up this opportunity. You could be slave labor or killed on the spot, but instead you're getting this opportunity. Don't mess this up." Daniel was about 15 years old at this time. And Daniel got a picture of who he wanted to be like. At 15, ripped away from his family, possibly seeing his mother or father pulled away into slave labor or killed on the spot. If he had brothers, sisters, who knows where they ended up. And he's taken into captivity, taken to Babylon, and given this amazing opportunity that everyone would covet. So we look at Daniel 1:5, and it says, "The king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king." Now at this time, finding real good quality meat and drink was a big deal. Many people, their goal every day was to find enough food and water to sustain themselves for another day. This was a challenge for a lot of society, as it is today. We grow out of touch with that, but it is. This was an opportunity. Daniel's like, not only are you going to get enough, we're going to give you the best. Now the rub here, it seems to be that this meat was sacrificed to idols, the god Marduk. And as it was taken to Marduk, Daniel felt in his moral compass, in his inner integrity, that violates what I can eat. Because I'm not going to eat meat sacrificed to Marduk. You saw this visit again in the New Testament. This is a big deal for the Jews growing up. And Daniel said, I can't do that. That would violate or compromise my integrity. Now, Daniel handled this so tactfully at 15 years of age. It should be an inspiration to all of us. If we looked at his tact and his wisdom, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. Daniel 1:8 says this, "Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank, therefore requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Look at what he did in Daniel 1:8. Says he purposed in his heart that he would not. This is one challenge everyone in the room to do today. Daniel made up his mind ahead of time. Daniel had no idea what his future held. Daniel was on this roller coaster ride of getting ripped out of his home environment, possibly seeing his family killed, and certainly being taken away from family. taken to a foreign nation, put into a palace to learn and be educated and say, I want the best and brightest minds. I want all the cultures represented here. I want to know what every country that I've dominated, what are they thinking? Let's draw it out of them. And he took this 15-year-old young man and said, here, we're going to give you the best. And Daniel said, wow, that compromises my moral compass. He said, I've already predetermined, regardless of the consequences, what this is going to look like for me. Daniel made up his mind ahead of time. What type of a young man or young lady do you want to be? What type of husband or wife do you want to be? What type of father or mother do you want to be? What type of Christian do you want to be? Where are your integrity lines? Have you made up your mind ahead of time? Do you know? Do you have a vision? Do you see it? Do you think, wow, that's tangible. I can see it right here, and I'm driving towards that goal. Daniel made up his mind ahead of time, and he purposed in his heart. It was a covenant he made with his own integrity. Daniel decided to do this before he knew the end of the story. He had no idea if he was going to be executed. It could have been, Daniel, you're relegated to slave labor. Go die and doing whatever menial task some of your friends were relegated to. So he'd have been thrust from then, the palace in Babylon, the upper echelon, to condemned to death in a very brutal life. But Daniel said, I understand that. But my integrity, my personal integrity, prevents me from doing it. The principle that we all kind of know we need to state is one breach of integrity leads to another. The first breach makes a second breach easier. And the second breach creates a pattern. If you're like me, you probably have made a first breach in some area. And then it's much easier to justify the second. And once you justify the second, it's much easier to have a pattern and just say, that's just who I am. It was too big of a responsibility anyhow. I couldn't really live up to that. Daniel never did that. Daniel held his feet to the fire and said, that's who I want to be. Daniel had a vision of who he wanted to be. He knew what his responsibilities were, and he never wanted to be irresponsible and put that burden on those around him. Direction, not intention, determines our destination. Teach on this every time here, and it probably challenged me. You can have all the good intentions you want. You can say what you're going to do for God. You can say what you're going to do for your family. But if all they are is intentions and they're not backed up with your actions, then it's a dream. Your direction. If you got in your vehicle today and said, I am driving to Florida, and you headed north, you could tell all your friends and all your family, I'm coming to Florida, I'm coming to Florida. Hey, guess what? I'm coming to Florida. But you could drive all day. And you could drive all night. And you know what? You're not getting anywhere close to Florida. Because you can intend to do it all you want, but your direction that you're going and the direction that you're living determines where you're going to end up. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Daniel said, I made up my mind ahead of time. This is the direction I'm going to go in. Once again, Daniel 1:8, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. So then the rub came in. What do I do? There's no guarantee God will do what you want him to do. This is why there's not a prosperity gospel. You can't do something and then command that God do something for you. Daniel had no idea how the story would end here. All he knew is who I'm going to be and how that's going to influence my daily decisions. Can you make daily decisions today that are in line with who you want to be someday? Can you make up your mind ahead of time, which will then make up your mind for your daily decisions that you're going through now? Then as we look, this is what Daniel did. How do I negotiate through this in a tactful way? I am a prisoner. I do have this opportunity. My guess is Daniel prayed and asked the Lord for wisdom and for guidance. The integrity of the upright guides him. Daniel 1:10 said, the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, man, I fear my lord the king. I fear the king who hath appointed this meat and drink. He's the one that dictated what you're going to do. For why should he say your face is worse? What if you don't respond as well? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. He literally said, I could be beheaded. I could die because of your choice. This isn't some flippant decision. Now, Daniel had already thought that through. And some of us, it would not hurt us to use wisdom and tact when we're trying to negotiate with other people on how we aren't going to compromise instead of being so divisive. Daniel used such wisdom and tact. We could all learn from this. Because Daniel could have said, you know, jump in a lake. This is what I'm going to do. God said this. I ain't eating any meat sacrificed to Marduk, and neither should you, you big heathen. He could have said that. And Daniel would have probably been killed on the spot, or again, taken out, work in the slave labor. Some of you are like, that would be cool. All right, good for you. Daniel 1:14. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee. So Daniel came up with a plan. He said, you know what? Can we try this? I'll take all the responsibility. Let our countenance give us this meat. Give us this meat and drink that you want us to have and put it aside. Let us take and have a different diet that conforms with what my inner integrity says and compare us with the other people that are following your plan. And look, you can evaluate us before your neck is on the line. Put the pressure on me. I don't want to jeopardize your life or my stand, Ashpenaz, but here's what we can do. What if we do this, and then if you don't like me, I'm the one in trouble? That wisdom and that tact served Daniel well. And the king communed with them, verse 119. And among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Now that story is impressive. And Daniel, in verse 121, continued unto the first year of King Cyrus. Daniel worked his way up as a slave, a foreigner, who was just given opportunity to be thrust in the palace. He worked himself up the ladder with his wisdom and tact. But you know what stayed in place? His integrity. He didn't compromise his integrity. And you're going to see an amazing display of that in just a minute. Because 55 years later, after Daniel was brought in, after he was asked to compromise his moral compass, his inner integrity, 55 years later, Daniel being in public office, Daniel being in public scrutiny, Daniel elevated to a place of leadership as a foreigner, taken into captivity as a 15-year-old young man, put into Babylon, and saying, we're going to indoctrinate you. We want to learn your culture. Please, go to this school for 3 years. Let us teach you. And Daniel stood out with his integrity in place to such a degree that King said, wow, look at that guy. We have to put him in a position of leadership. And they elevated Daniel. Where 55 years later, Daniel faced a big test. Because look at Daniel 6, verse 3. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Let me give you an idea of what happened. Daniel, about 70 years of age. The king comes in. Daniel had worked himself out to be one of three princes underneath the king. And he saw Daniel and his actions, and he said, you know what? I'm going to elevate Daniel to be my one direct report. Everyone's going to be under him. Now, could Daniel have ever predicted that when they ripped him out of his mom's and dad's arms, taken into captivity when he was 15 years old, and brought and thrust into the palace in Babylon? Could Daniel have known that when he looked at the meat and drink and said, I'm a fortunate young man, but God, this is something I can't do in my inner integrity? And he said, what plan can come up with? And he went to Ashpenaz and came up with a plan and elevated himself. And in Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. His foresight of who he wanted to be like guided his daily decisions for 55 years. Now, the only thing negative is when he was elevated, or going to be elevated, to be the one direct report for the entire kingdom under the king. Not everyone liked that. And the two other princes are like, we don't like this. Who is this foreigner coming in? He's been around for 55 years. We are sick of this guy. And just like you see today in the news, what did people do? They went to find some dirt on Daniel. You see this happen all the time. They do a deep dive into someone's past, into someone's history, into someone's record. Now stop and think for a minute. What if you were under scrutiny? What would come to your mind that you hope they don't find out about? What actions are not known publicly, but are known internally by you, and they're crossing your integrity lines? If they did a deep dive and inspected your life or my life, what lack of integrity or what baggage or what cover-up would be there that we hope never comes to light? These men had all the power, they had access to all the records, and they said, we got to find something on Daniel. Look at the next verse. This to me is unbelievable. It's worth pausing and rereading. The presidents and princes sought to find occasion, any dirt, any discrepancy, any negative against Daniel concerning the kingdom at all. But they could find none occasion nor fault. Think of that. Can you think of any career politician in the U.S. or any career high-profile person in the U.S. that was in power for 55 years, and when they really researched them, they could find not one fault or thing they could criticize them for? And Daniel at 15 made up his mind ahead of time. He purposed in his heart. Who do you want to be like? For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. This is tough for you when you come to college for a few years. This is tough for us when we live a few months. It is tough to be a person of integrity and live up to the standard we're capable of living up to. Daniel did it under public scrutiny in a foreign land for 55 years, and he did it in such a tactful, wise way. The kings kept elevating and says, there's something about that guy that I want to follow. Because isn't that who you want in charge? Are you telling me right now, if our nation had a person that was in power for 55 years and we could research them all we want, we could find zero fault in that person, zero occasion to throw stones, isn't that who you want in charge? Are you qualifying yourself to be that type of person today? Are you living in such a way that your integrity says, that's who I want to be? Are your decisions pre-made ahead of time because of who you want to be? Have you made up your mind? What's guiding you? The integrity of the upright guides them. What's guiding you? Your pleasure center? What's guiding you? What sounds good in the moment? What's guiding you? The acceptance of your friends? What's guiding you? Validation of people around you? What's guiding you? Feels good. This is what I've always wanted. This is what I want to aspire to be. What's guiding you? And then contrast that with what guided Daniel. All those years on his own, living in such a way as no one could find any fault in him. Now, I think you guys in this room would know the story of how they concocted a story and said the only thing we can criticize is how he prays to his God. And you see how that turned out. And the two princes who conspired were thrown into the lion's den and killed. And Daniel was validated by God once again. But Daniel did not know that was going to happen. he made up his mind ahead of time. If you don't predetermine and integrity doesn't guide you, fear will guide you if integrity doesn't. Our society has so many ways we're controlled by fear and anxiety. And if you're looking for approval, if you're looking to not fear missing out, if you're looking to say, oh, life might pass me by, or what fun might pass me by, or these are my 20s, or what do I miss out on if I don't take advantage of this opportunity? Oh boy, what about this? If you're not careful, fear will guide you if integrity doesn't. But I can say this, if you follow your integrity, you will miss out on pain, shame, or regret if you live with integrity. Wouldn't you like to have a reputation like Daniel? Wouldn't it sit well with you when people sought to find occasion against you and could find zero? Wouldn't you like it if they scrutinized you and came back and said, there's nothing there? What you see is what you get. That is a person of integrity. Daniel 6:4, again, I said it was worth reading twice. The president and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Let me ask you again, who do you want to be like? Who's coming to mind right now? Is there an action or a behavior that is coming to mind right now where you say, I might justify that first breach, and then it makes the second one easier, and then it becomes a pattern? Where are we starting to compromise who you want to be like? Predetermined. Let your integrity guide you. Purpose in your heart. Make your mind up ahead of time. Who do you want to be like? Who do you want to be like one day when your son or daughter looks you in the eyes? Who do you want to be like someday when you've been married a long time and you look at your spouse and you know your flaws, your faults, and they look at you and they know, what are they going to say about your integrity? You know, many people have asked me, man, if this guy should be our pastor, I said, it's really easy. Just get his wife and his children alone in a room and ask them about them. If you want to know about me, you know the best way to do it? Ask my sons or my wife. They'll know. It's easy to impress the people around you, but what about the people that know you best? Strip away the facade. Who are you really like? Who do you want to be like? The integrity of the upright shall guide them. What's guiding you? Will integrity guide you even when it costs you? Daniel had no idea the cost. He just knew, this is my integrity and I'm not crossing the line. Who do you want to be like? Where do you need to shore up the defenses of your integrity? Structural integrity. It can withstand the load is supposed to withstand. If you have one crack, it starts to weaken the structure. And it puts more weight on the other support around it. And then they have to take on more than their share of the load. And eventually, if there's any more, they can't withstand the added load. The integrity is compromised, and then the whole structure is compromised. Do you really want to be the weak link in your friend group or in your family? Do you really want to be someone that disappoints you? Don't you want to live up to the responsibility you have to be a responsible person? Don't you want to be a person of integrity? Wouldn't you love one day to say they could search for occasion among in my life and could find nothing? Daniel, 55 years. Where are you deciding right now? Should I compromise here? Should I breach my integrity here? Should I be this type of person? Read Proverbs 11:3 and say, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. What is going to guide you today? Are you upright? Are you looking at who you should be and could be one day and living up to your potential? Or are you looking for instant gratification of what's around you and how you can get sidetracked or sidelined or what would feel good in the moment? Let your integrity guide you. Daniel was the same at 15 as he was at 70. He'll say you're young, you're immature. So is Daniel. He'll say it's just a youthful mistake. It might be, but you know what? It's still a tragic mistake. Live up to your potential. Some of you sit around and think, well, I'm not worth much. Okay, that's not the Lord talking. The Lord sees your value. Daniel was just a slave taken to a foreign city at 15, and God had big plans for him. And God has plans for you, and they're worth living up to see what could happen. Who do you want to be like? Let that make your decisions this week, next week, this month, and going forward. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all you've done for us. God, help us to live up to whatever potential that we have. God, please help us to be right. God, help everyone to see their potential. God, I don't know where the integrity breach might come in my life or in any life of person in the room, but God, help us to be stronger. Help us to be tough around that. Help us to decide ahead of time who we want to be like. Then live up to that. God, move in every heart today, big or small, move in every heart, help them to seal in, regardless where they're at, of who they want to be like and what their integrity should look like. And God, help us to live up to that level where they can find none occasion against us. Piano's going to play shortly. If any of you feel the Lord has spoken to you in your heart, whether you're at your seat or at the altar, just decide ahead of time, who do I want to be like? What potential can I live up to? Let the Lord show you his plan. The integrity of the upright shall guide them. Let it guide them.